you turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Little background music while we hear the word. Thank you, Lord. One day we went over and worshiped with them. We had a powerful time. The whole place went over there and began to worship with them. They didn't know what to do. Hallelujah. It was an invasion of the believer. In Malachi chapter 4, starting at verse 1, would you read it with me, please? For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the what? Proud. Yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up. How many of you, the Bible says that pride goes before the what? Fall. Before the fall. So when people fall and backslide and do goofy things and whatever, it's because pride's involved. Does everybody understand that? It says pride goes before the fall. And the pride is nothing but a spirit that is a protector of self. Amen? Pride is a spirit that is a protector of self. Anger is the spirit that protects pride. So when you get... it's because that angry spirit is protecting the pride one. And he's going, go ahead, show them. Go ahead. Satisfaction comes by vengeance. And all of those are associated with darkness. So pride does come before the fall. And it says they were all burned, those who are associated with pride. Says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. In other words, they're going to be destroyed everything. He's talking about the day of the Lord now. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Not for the slaughter now. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great day, a great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now listen, we are in the spirit of Elijah. Right now the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses is here. Doesn't mean that they're the physical form, because remember, God is going to, before Jesus comes, he's going to come through the body first before he physically comes. But his spirit comes first. Everything is done in the spirit. In other words, everything that you do in the natural realm is associated with something in the spirit realm. Who's impressing you? Who's telling you? We got a wonderful teaching that says, who told you that, right? So we see here that he says, listen, the spirit of Elijah, or the prophet of Elijah, remember John the Baptist was anointed with the spirit of Elijah. Jesus even said he was Elijah, right? And he came before Jesus, didn't he? And before Jesus comes again, the spirit of Elijah will flood the earth, and he's here right now. We have the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses. Now, the spirit of Elijah is associated with the spiritual church as the body of Christ, and the spirit of Moses is associated with the law, which is associated with the Jew. Is everybody with me? And that spirit is here too. Is everybody with me? Okay. So the Bible also shows us that when the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses, and the day that Jesus was transfigured, who came? The spirit of Elijah and Moses. Right? On the day of transfiguration. On the mountain when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. Elijah and Moses showed up. Right? So that's telling us even now that Jesus will come as a spirit of Elijah or as the spirit of Moses also maintaining right now. It's going through the earth. And the spirit of Elijah is going through the body of Christ. Is everybody with me? What's his purpose? In verse 6, and he will what? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a what? A curse. So that's one of the purposes of the spirit of Elijah is going to do. Not only is there other attributes in the power and the anointing, casting out devils and God working signs and wonders and miracles is what Elijah did. But one of the main purposes is, he says, before the grateful and dreadful day, he says, I'm going to turn the fathers back to the children and the children back to the fathers. And that's what's happening right now. There's been many only through the body of Christ, only through the anointing of Elijah, are the children being returned and restored. And many of us are seeing that right now. You know, today we are honoring Father's Day. But we truly honor the Father who makes and puts all things into move, into practice. He's preordained all of these things to happen for me and you. For me and you. Remember, I shared this already before that Jesus' inheritance, his prime inheritance is you and me. If we can really get that in our spirit, we would have a totally different outlook of things. You and I are the inheritance to Jesus. All things were made in him and through him and for him. And we are his inheritance. God the Father created me and you for the purpose of giving his Son an inheritance. And we're that. Now, turning the fathers to the children. Remember the spirit of Elijah? That's the purpose of it. What is a father? A father is one that provides and instructs the truth to his children. He provides and instructs truth to his children. Things are to be passed on, aren't they? You know, when people call a father a provider, he's to be a provider of truth. Not just about finances and whatever. I mean, what good is finances if you're not provider of truth? Amen? So we are to be the examples as fathers. The Lord wants us to express compassion, love, tenderness, and a good example, even as a husband, as a father of light. See, you can't be a father unless you have children, can you? Right? Well, that's why Jesus came. He says, if you see me, you see the Father. Why? Because he said that we are his inheritance and we are his children. One who denies himself for the sake of his children, a chastiser to all who dishonor, that honor may be birthed. Again, today we honor the fathers that are fulfilling and have a desire to fulfill the call of fatherhood. Many of us who've had children, who have children even right now, that because of the way we were fathers, I forsook my daughter as I basically forsook my office as father when I was in the world. I tried to be a father, but I didn't know the truth. And the only thing I was about me, myself, and I. and I lost my daughter and so forth, and many of us have lost children. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you have rejected my knowledge, I will reject you from being priests, and because you have forsaken the law of your God, I will forsake your children. I'll reject them. So many of us were under that same category of being rejected, not brought in, not brought birth forth. But now God has sent the spirit of Elijah that we can be turned back. Does everybody understand that? From the moment Jesus came, and when he departed, and he sent his spirit here, he started turning the fathers towards the children and the children back to their fathers. And it's happening even stronger now, even in a greater way. And Luke 11, would you turn there for a moment, please? Luke chapter 11. Hallelujah. And verse 11, would you read it with me? If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, he calls the natural carnal man evil. He said, if you being evil because you're a natural carnal man, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts or the promise of the Holy Spirit? Is everybody with me? And the Bible talks about how much God loves us. That video we saw this morning was about God's love for me and you. One of the things that the enemy does is he breaches the love. If he can breach the love between you and your heavenly Father, then he can breach the love for yourself and the love for others. He works in that arena because he promotes hatred. He promotes self. He promotes bitterness. He promotes unforgiveness. He promotes those things that will cause separation from you and God. And the Father's purpose in this life is to continue to restore the children. To constantly restore the children to the true Father. That's your purpose and my purpose as a father. And those who are of you are going to be fathers. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Malachi 2? In verse 10. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10. Can we read this together? Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another? By profaning the covenant of the fathers. Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. Now he's talking about circumstance where he's been married out of family at that time in the Jewish tradition. Today he talks about being unevenly yoked or being married to things of the world. In the area where other things are before our relationship with God. That's why he always warns us, be careful of idols. You know, I can only share this again, that when I was out in the world using drugs and alcohol and all kinds of other things, I was married to them. I was married. That was my physical wife was no longer my wife, even though that she was my wife. Everything else was before. My children, everything. I forsook my fatherhood, my priesthood, and everything to be married to the deception of darkness. I followed whatever my evil heart dictated. I did what I felt like because I was led by feelings and demonic forces, totally possessed. You know, if you don't have control over something, something has control over you. And he says in verse 13, and this is the second thing that you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Now, we know that God divorced Israel because of its worship of foreign gods and idolatry and so forth and idols. Does God hate divorce? Of course he hates divorce. Does it mean you can't get divorced because of fornication and stuff like that? Well, sometimes God tells you to get divorced, but he doesn't promote it. Is everybody with me? Amen. Certainly not a woman in abuse, or even a man in abuse. There are some men that are being abused by their wives. You know, he didn't bring us into the world to suffer in that arena. We're to be doing his will. But he warned us in this area because his whole purpose is to produce godly offspring. You know, if you and I are brought up in an arena, sometimes our parents have come to the Lord, but it came to the Lord too late. Is everybody with me? Because we had already received all of these things from the world and so forth, and it's like, man, now all of a sudden parents become believers and the children are having a hard time because what happened to mom and dad? They don't party with us on Friday night anymore. That's all they do is talk about Jesus. You know, so it's hard for the children to come in, but God says that they will come in even though it looks hard. See, he says, when you come into the kingdom and you start walking in a position, your household will be saved. The problem is you got to pull it up with all the stuff while you're living there. But see, that's a part of your reaping. Hello? It's difficult, too, when a husband comes to the Lord or a wife comes to the Lord and the other one's still fighting, kicking, and going, man, what's the matter with you? But even though the one is still doing ungodly things, that person is still sanctified by the righteous one. That's God's way, not man's way. Amen. Some of us have been rescued because our wives were right. Some of us have been rescued because our husbands were right. Some of us have been rescued because grandma's been praying and interceding for us. Because God answers the prayers of the saints. But the whole purpose of this, where God is trying to bring us and the restoring of the children and so forth, and bringing us to this place so that he can produce godly offsprings. That's why we have been begotten now. For some of us, we're the firstborn of our families in the righteousness of Christ. But that we can produce, that he can produce through us godly offspring. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 68, please. You know, one of the things that produce ungodly offspring is marriage out of his will. Hello? Marriage out of his will. You know, there may be two believers getting married, but it doesn't mean it's God's will. Just because they're believers doesn't mean it's God's will. You want God's perfect will for a marriage, no matter what it is. Because even when two believers get married, they can still produce ungodly offspring. Why? Because if it's not God's will, they produce ungodly offspring. There's nothing but strife and anger and garbage. And they end up getting divorced, or they end up staying married according to the law of God and in hoping things will come to pass. Can things turn? Of course. He says, all things work to the good to those who love the Lord, right? Called for His purpose. But in that time, there's still that struggle. There's still that fight, isn't there? One of the things we do not want to do is be associated with ungodly offspring. But I'm telling you, He's the restorer. I went and golfed with my daughter yesterday. And not that I'm any kind of golfer at all. Man, we play 18 holes and I shoot 36. I swung so many times. Hallelujah. I do a lot of beaching when I play golf. I make sure I bring some suntan lotion, you know. And before I check the course, I want to know where all the water and the sand is. Make sure I have enough balls for 14 games, you know. Oh, hallelujah. But it's something that God has restored. My daughter and I have been separated for almost 8 years because of my ungodly ways. And in the last 3 years, the Lord has restored her. That's according to the Word of God, isn't it? And restore the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And He said, my household will be saved. It was pretty wild yesterday. We were driving, and in the back of the car, Alyssa said to me, Dad, I said, what? He says, does Amy know Jesus? I said, I don't know. Why don't you ask her? So she did. Out of the mouth of babes, you know? Does she know Jesus? Why don't you ask her? Praise God. Sometimes you just got to wait and let somebody else do what's supposed to be done. You know, God knows it's got to be in His timing. And in Psalm 68, oh, hallelujah. In verse 5, I believe. Psalm 68, verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 4. Sing to God, sing praises to His name, extol Him who rides on the clouds by His name Yah, and rejoice before Him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy habitation. God sets the solitary in the what? Families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You know, I want to share something very important. Many of us were fatherless, even though we had fathers. You might have had a father that was a workaholic, an alcoholic, or whatever. You might have had a father that was in prison. You might have had a father that you never even met. And everybody else tried to be your father. You might have had a father that never lived up to your expectations as a father. They tried their best, but they were really not true fathers. They thought they were. They didn't know the truth. So they couldn't tell you the truth. They may have taught you how to be a mechanic or a drywall hanger or whatever it is. But they never taught you how to be a godly man or woman of God. Some of us had fathers that were abusive. Some women were raped by their own fathers and abused. Some men were also. And we wondered what a father was really like. What's a father really like? Again, he's one who lays down his life for his children. He does not put himself first. He puts Christ first. He's a walking example who all fathers should be according to the will of God Almighty. Those are God. Well, that's what produces godly offsprings. Some of us could never understand why these things happen to us. Some of us were angry with God as a father because of the things that were brought forth into our lives. Some of us have cried out for God, help me, help me, help me. And we didn't get an answer, although we did get an answer. The thing is we just didn't hear it. Or we don't obey it. We figured it out. It was according to the way we should do it and not according to the way He wants to do it. Amen. Some of us, our families, our wives are out there and they're struggling because we can't be there to be a father or a husband because we're paying the price of what we've sown. But I'm telling you, God will maintain them as you get busy, prepares you to become the father that He's called you to be. But let me share something very important. Not only is He going to heal some of these wounds and rejections, and these burdens that we've carried in us for so many years, but He's going to be the father that you never had. You know, there's a rumor and a delusion that goes around in the body of Christ, and I can't stand it. It says that you will react to Father God according to the father that you had on this earth, and that's nothing but a lie. In other words, some people have a hard time receiving a Father God Almighty because they had not no father of the earth. That's a lie. Because you touch the Father and He touches you, there comes a relationship that you can't explain naturally. I know that when the Lord touched me, I met my Father. Immediately I knew He was my Father and my Father of the earth was not. Does everybody understand that? Because I became born again. Not born from the earth, but born from the Spirit. I had a new Father. Now I got a new mom and a new dad. And they're not of this world. Thank God, because either am I. And this is where the Lord wants us to walk into, is the relationship of Father. Because when you have that relationship of Father and Son, you're able to understand the Father. Jesus said something very profound. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. And you can say the same thing. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus is the same Spirit of the Father. Not that we are God the Father, but the characteristics of His love and His compassion and His purpose of His life are in you and me. Where you and I can be healed from wounds. Where you and I can forget those things that were that have brought us to those. Some of us that are still walking in guilt and condemnation because we never were a father to the children, and some of our children are in prison or whatever it may be, they're lost in orphanages or they've been adopted somewhere else, and we could not fulfill that fatherhood. Or some of us were associated with aborted children where sometimes that guilt and hurt still there. But I'm telling you, those kids are home. And He's the healer of all things. Even though the enemy tried to breach that love between you and the Father, that doesn't have to be anymore. He is the Father of all. And He is the Spirit of love. He will never forsake you nor leave you in any area. Even though sometimes you wonder where He may be. Sometimes He stands back so you search Him even more. Sometimes there's testing to see what you've learned. But I'm telling you, He is the Father to the fatherless. And He is faithful. Turn to Proverbs 4. We were on a golf course yesterday and we saw a man die. And my daughter's heart was, she's a cardiac physician's assistant and specializes in cardiology or whatever it is in the heart. And we were hole back, and we were wondering what the delay was. And somebody said, well, somebody had fallen down there or something. So we started to go down there, and then all of a sudden we saw somebody giving CPR to a man. By the time anyone got there, he'd already been dead 10 minutes. The man was blue, and you knew he was dead. So she began to start CPR, and I began to pray in the spirit over him. And I just felt in my spirit that he was not coming back. It was like the Lord was saying, he's gone. And afterwards, then the paramedics came and so forth. And I mean, this has already gone on 20 more minutes. And afterwards, my daughter was troubled. Now it's, wow, because I wasn't. And the Lord said, he's gone. Okay. My daughter was troubled because she was troubled for the family. And her concern was, it was on Father's Day, or, you know, the Father's Day weekend. What a tragedy. And I understood that, but I wasn't looking in that arena at that time. My concern was that this man was saved. I claimed his soul. I asked the Lord to have mercy upon him. But I don't know what happened. Only God does. But I saw the effect of my daughter in the natural arena. And it touched my heart with compassion because of the concern. You know, the concern of others that it's affected. And I realized, you know, how many we've affected, good or bad. How many people have died and committed suicide thinking of self and the hurts, and how many they really affected after their death. So many times people die and they go, oh man, if I could have done this or I should have done that. I mean, and even after he was dead, I was wondering, oh man, why didn't you let us know a little bit earlier, Lord? Maybe we could have saved this guy. You know? Or whatever. But you know, I was just like, it was his time. And we just had to let it go. But I know it affected that whole golf course. And the golf course was not prepared. My daughter kept asking for certain things that should be on the golf course. Defibrillators or whatever they didn't have one. You know, and then this guy came up and was on the radio. He said, well, he's certified this, that, and whatever. And he was a part of the golf course. And I was like, well, where were you? Well, they didn't have any of this equipment. Well, let me tell you, I'm sure they're going to get that equipment now. You know. And we were in the... And after we golfed, we went into the place to grab a salad. And people were coming up to my daughter and saying, thank you. You know, thank you. And then this other person came up and said, hey, aren't you such and such and whatever? And I said, yeah. And she said, yeah, I thought I heard there was a cardiologist and a minister out there. I said, well, word sure got around quickly. But it was one of my heart's desire, because I always see my daughter and myself on a mission field at some time. And the Lord brought, I mean, you know, just that word coming back. I mean, we just got done. Now we did another 9 holes. Actually, for me, it was another 18, but it was 9. Man, I was sore. I was swimming all day and in the sand and spitting sand out of my mouth and everything else, you know. And but it was an honor and a blessing to me, because this person that knew me, and I had only met once a while ago in another state, was golfing on that course. And came up afterwards and said, yeah, I knew. I said, oh, the ponytail gave it away. She said, yeah. She said, but then I heard about the people that were trying to revive him. There was a cardiologist and a minister. I said, whoa. And that just blessed my heart, because that's what I've always seen my daughter and myself helping other people, her doing it in the physical realm and me doing it in the spiritual realm. So God was just showing me there was an honor for me to see that, because God was knowing what my heart was, because he was putting it in my heart. You know, but just being the example and standing in the arena of the Spirit. In other words, she started CPR and I started praying in the Holy Ghost. I started laying my hands on this guy everywhere, you know, and started praying in the Spirit. And another guy was golfing with us, Dwight, and I said, man, start praying in the Holy Ghost. So him and I were praying in the Holy Ghost, and all the paramedics were coming around and whatever. But like I said, he was gone, and it was time for him to go. In verse 1, would you read it with me, please? Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Now, what was he saying? He said, listen, I learned this from my father, and I want to teach you this. He said, get wisdom and get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. She will deliver you. So we see that from God the Father's standpoint, he's saying, get this from me. And then to the fathers, he's saying, now give it to your children so that everyone will remember. It goes down. These things are, we want to bring forth into our children's. Why? So that as we produce godly offsprings, they will produce godly offsprings. Amen. And train them up according to the will of God. Hallelujah. In Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live according, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now this means, Abba means daddy. It's a representation of daddy, Abba, Father. Where that relationship is no longer God. It's Father. One of the most important things as a father is that their children know them. And one important thing of a child is to know their father. Amen? See, there's that relationship. And it's very difficult, even in these days where there's divorce or separation, where the mother has to be the father. Hello. And the father has to be the mother. Because of the separation, because of the enemy who creeps in and causes problems. But what would be better off to produce godly offspring sometimes is for the mother to become the father. Is everybody with me? And for the father to become the mother. The whole purpose is that the offspring will be produced as a godly offspring. That is the most important thing. No one said it was going to be easy for single parents. But it does happen, doesn't it? And there are still godly offsprings. I've met many men and many women that are single parents that are producing godly offspring. Because they're doing it according to the will of God. And God honors them. Oh, hallelujah. But in this here, we can only do it by truly having that relationship with the Father where we know Him as Daddy. Daddy. There's that relationship where we call him Abba, Father. It's no longer he's just God. You know, he doesn't say, good morning, God. Hi, I'm your son. He's Father. Amen? There's places, and I've shared this story over and over. One time I was dropping somebody off at an apartment, and I parked in this one place. They said, man, you can't park here. I said, why? She said, because it's a you can't. It doesn't say. I said, listen, my father owns this place. This person looked at, your father owns this place? I said, yeah, I can park anywhere I want. Really? I said, yeah. I said, he's your father too. She goes, oh man, get out of here. So I dropped the person off, parked there, and left. Yeah, he's my dad. It's my father. He owns everything. Everything. There isn't anything that will be held back from you. When you acknowledge him and know him as Father, if you know who you are as his son or his daughter, everything. That's why the Bible says that you and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places. You know why people aren't? Because they don't know it. They don't have their relationship as father and son. They're still walking according to the carnal relationship of an existing or non-existing father or mother. Instead of walking in the existence, in the present of the true Father, the ultimate, the express, the only, I'm telling you, every desire that you ever wanted from a mother or a father is right there. And he's beyond. Oh, hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 6. In verse 14, I think it is. Yeah, verse 14. Is everybody all right? It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the living temple of God, and as God has said, I will dwell in them, and I'll walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, which means if. So he calls himself, he acknowledges him here as God, right? And he says, now therefore, or if you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a what? Father. See, here's a step from God to Father. Amen? See, he's no longer just God. He's Father. But there's an arena where children who are disobedient to God. Children who are obedient to their father. There's a difference. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Almighty God. Is everybody with me? See, because they haven't gotten that revelation, they're still looking at God as God. I remember when I was a kid, I always looked at God as some old man sitting on this concrete seat and this thing in his hand and his hair blowing, his long beard, you know. And holding up this staff like, I'm waiting on you. Thou shalt not. I never knew him as a true love, you know. Man, when I went to go steal something, I go, oh! And I'd run. Like a little weasel. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Oh, no, another one. People used to tell me, man, you going to church, it's going to fall down. Hallelujah. And the whole time he began to draw me, and I didn't know. See, when I had my encounter with the Lord, I realized that everything I was looking for was love. It was actually him. Looking for him. All the dope, all the money, all the fame, sex, drugs, and rock and roll and everything else. The fulfillment of getting filled with music. And power and everything else. Acknowledgement. Man, the whole time I was looking for him. When I was brought into the glory of God, I realized, man, it's you I've been looking for. Boy, how stupid could I be and still breathe? It was you. The whole time it was you. I mean, everything else I was lied to. I got out of God's glory and I looked at everything. I said, man, everybody lied to me. My mother, my father, the priest. They lied to me. Nobody told me the truth. Why? Because they didn't know the truth. They tried to bring me under the law and the bondage. I walked around with fear. I didn't know when God was going to strike me dead. But I didn't have the reverence to him as Father. See, that's where the Spirit of the Lord, that's where the Spirit of God comes into pass in our spirit, where he says, we cry out, how about Father? Because now it's a real, I don't fear him as for him killing me. I reverence him because he's my dad. I do what I do because he's my dad. Like father, like son. Hello? Like father, like daughter. Look at the expressions that a daughter wants to be like their daddy. Amen? And then as they grow up, they become more like their mother. They're the female attributes. So if the mother's an expression of godliness, so will the daughter. But in this place of relationship with you and your father, that must be the ultimate and the most important thing. Because if you don't have a relationship with the Father, you can't become a father. If you don't have a relationship with the Father, you can't become a mother. It's difficult. Is everybody with me? Why? Because we want to produce godly offsprings. Oh, hallelujah. And he says, listen, if you will come out, he says, I will dwell with you, I'll walk with you, and I'll be your God. Okay. But if you'll do this, I'll be your father. That's a whole different arena. That's a whole different arena. Go to Isaiah 64. Hallelujah. Isaiah 64. And verse 8. Let's back up a little bit. Let's start at verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor have seen nor the eye have seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like what? Filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. Do you understand? You must stir yourself up to take hold of him. Every day. God doesn't come to stir you up. It's your responsibility. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. In verse 8, would you read it with me? But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we all are your people. So he says here that, Lord, you are our Father. Go to Matthew 6. Hallelujah. Abba, Father. Everybody say Abba, Father. That means Daddy. Daddy. Oh, hallelujah. Abba, Father. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Jesus was telling his disciples how to pray, and he said, in this manner, therefore, pray what? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He acknowledges him as what? Father. Jesus was the expression and the example so that we would have a relationship with the Father. Why? Because he was restoring back the children. Remember, God the Father came to restore back his children. Amen? To himself. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. Is everybody okay? Those of you who have fathers, I encourage you to call them today. It doesn't matter what. The Bible says, honor your mother and father. Call them. Doesn't matter whether they were wrong or right, or you were wrong or right, call them. Why? Because you're being obedient to the will of God, not according to how you feel. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 17, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear or reverence, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers or traditions from men, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Ooh. Call on the Father. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 7. Is everybody there? If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with what? Sons. Chastening is correction. Spanking. Spiritual spanking. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. God corrects us, believe me, in many ways. Yes, and he does use men. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So chastening is an operation where God uses for training. Hello. It's a place where he trains us. It's going to bear good fruit afterwards. So don't run. You know how many people run from chastening? They call it offense. Well, the pastor offended me. He said this. Or whatever. People run from offense. They run. The only thing that's happening is darkness is being exposed, and that demon has convinced that person to run. And they go around that cycle over and over and over, and they don't get set free. They try to maintain that demon, but actually that demon is maintaining them. Chastening is a part of a believer's life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So don't be offended when you get chastened, corrected. Verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as many beloved children I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now look at this. This is something. He said, now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love in the spirit of gentleness? What was he telling him? Come on, man, cut this out. You puffed up, arrogant individuals of children of mine. I've brought you forth. In other words, he was saying, come on, remember, imitate me. Paul was one of the fathers of the body of Christ. He was a father. And that's what God is raising up. He's raising up fathers to the body of Christ. And arrogant children. Go to John 15. Hallelujah. So everybody's going to be looking for correction now, right? Chastening, because you're going to know Daddy loves you. You're not going to be offended. John 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the what? Vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he what? He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he what? Prunes that it what? May bear more fruit. Wow. So expect the pruning. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I abide, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Fruit. Fruit. This is how you tell. You judge by fruit. You know, you can begin to see your own fruit, whether you're drifting or getting closer. You can tell. I see relationships begin to get involved, and I see them further going away, and I know then that it's not God. Because if it's God, if the fruit is being birthed to where it gets closer, not further. Is there what? Closer to what? Closer and fulfilling their destiny, not walking away from their destiny. I see the enemy take people right out of fellowships and begin to they begin to go the opposite way. They go the opposite way. They begin to drop things and neglect things. And these are fruits. This is how you tell by the fruit. So you'll know whether that relationship's of God or not. Is everybody with me? Even people that you associate with. You may have friends when they're all claiming to be believers, and all of a sudden you get involved and you're hanging around some, and you find yourself beginning to drift away from the fellowship where God has placed you instead of fulfilling the will of God in your destiny. It's moving you away from it. Then you know that that individual or whatever it is, you need to separate from. Because it's not promoting your destiny. It's hindering it. Is everybody with me? Even though sometimes it may seem like God, it's not always God. Because the enemy will do everything he can to delay your destiny. That's why that relationship is so important with the Father. Look at what happened with, let me share this with you. There are spiritual fathers and natural fathers. Amen? I mean, I've got spiritual fathers. Abraham had two children, Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael, he had to cut loose. Hello? Does everybody understand that? Ishmael, he had to cut loose because he was not the seed of promise. His own son, he had to cut loose. Sometimes I have to cut loose people because they become Ishmaels. Because they try to interfere with the destiny and the purpose of my life and what I'm supposed to do. And I cut them loose. And you're to do the same thing. You're to cut loose every Ishmael that's associated with you so that the seed of Isaac and the promise of your father can come forth. Don't become so soulish that you're afraid of hurting somebody's feelings when they're interfering with your destiny. Because that's what brings pleasing to your Father in heaven, so that you can fulfill your sonship and daughtership. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says, honor your mother and your father. And that's what we do today. That's how blessings come, by honoring your mother and your father. Today, you are here today because you are honoring your father. That's an honor. Those who chose to stay home today to honor their natural father just missed out honoring their true father. Oh, hallelujah. In Matthew 19, I'm going to close here. Oh, to God be the glory. Matthew 19 and verse 3, and the Pharisees also came to Jesus, tested him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his what? Father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. To do what? Produce godly offsprings. Amen. See, you were begotten by the Father of Heaven. Now, it's your turn to let God use you to produce godly offsprings. That they will be begotten by the Father of Heaven. And they'll produce godly offsprings. And that they will be begotten by the Father of Heaven. Does everybody understand that? So there's a time when you'll be sent and you will leave your spiritual family and begin a spiritual family of your own. Amen. That's the purpose of it. And you will serve. This is all a spiritual family here. That's what it's about. Everything is a season and a time. For some of us, it's a purpose, and for some of us, we'll be here forever. Hallelujah, till we all go home. And for some of us, you'll be sent out as apart from the spiritual family. Amen? But we all have one Father. One Father who loves us all. And today we say, Happy Father's Day. And we honor the Father of all spirits. In Jesus' name. Did you have something you wanted to share? I forgot. She just told me that. Hallelujah. Would you get your hearts ready for communion also?
I just want to share with you some things the Lord has been dealing with me today. Because, you know, we're all going through our stuff and we all started someplace with our fathers and we're all growing. But today the Lord has just really been dealing with me. I'm over there shaking like I'm cold, and I'm not cold. I just know God is in this place. And he's still trying to heal my heart from where the position that I'm at and how far I've gotten in my walk, the same as he's trying to heal your heart. And Pastor touched on a lot of things that the Lord has been telling me about this morning. Something else that guy said that just made me really understand what the Lord's trying to do for me today. I don't know how many years ago my dad died. 16 years ago. I'm going about Father's Day, and my dad's been dead a long time, so I have no perception of, you know, Father's Day for my father. Now I have a little girl, and Father's Day is about getting some gifts and teaching my daughter how to honor her natural father and, you know, giving him his new shirt and giving him a card. And so that's where my head was, and not till this morning I was in the car with my mom did I even remember my father. I didn't even remember him. Now, my father wasn't really there for me as a little girl, but it's not because he didn't want to be. It's just because he really didn't know how to be, because his mom was not there for him and his dad. And a lot of you in the places that you are, you've had bad fathers, some of them far worse than mine. He was present, but he wasn't present, if you know what I mean. So a lot of you are there from places of woundedness in your fathers that were just not there for you. But I want you to know that as God's still healing my heart of this stuff, he wants to heal your heart. Not in 10 years from now, he wants to heal your heart today. God says that he puts the lonely in families. Amen. You're in a family. You're in a family that loves you. And God has given you a spiritual father right here. This man is my spiritual father too. And I am honored to have a father to look up to like him. And though he's not a perfect father in the natural for my little girl, part of it is because he's so many people's father that something Lissa has to sacrifice is so that he can be a father to all of you. But the thing that she has that she'll never deny or never be without is that her heavenly father loves her. And it's been displayed through this man, the unconditional love of a father. And some of us didn't have that. And I shared with you that it's a lie. It's a lie that we have to live our lives not relating to our heavenly fathers because we didn't have fathers that knew how or were able to show us that they cared. Even if you never had your father or never knew your father, God Almighty has now given you a spiritual father for whom to look for an example. But God says that, you know, the way that we've lived our lives and the things that have happened to us, they've become strongholds in our lives. Strongholds or memory lies. And sometimes, like I lost my dad a long time ago, you don't even know that these memory lies still affect you. But they do still affect you. And it's time today for you to give the memory lies that are associated with your natural father to the Lord. Because he wants to heal your heart today. Amen. God says that every good gift comes from above. The gift of repentance. Repentance is a gift. And it's time for you when we go into prayer to check your hearts and let that gift of repentance be given to you from your Father, that you can repent for any hatred that you have for your natural Father, that you can repent for allowing things to come between you and your spiritual Father, your Father in heaven. Even if you've had a father on earth that you idolize so much that he came before God because that's idolatry. Amen? And God says that the word of God is mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And you just heard the word of God today. And now you have the ability to seek God as we worship and ask him to heal your heart and to give you the gift of repentance and the gift of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice, but you can only get it from God. Amen? Now, we're on earth and we're giving our Father's gifts today, but what your Father in heaven created you for is because he loves you so much he wanted to be loved back. But so many of us, we sit in this room and we see this man loving his Father so much, and we want to have that same love that he has to give back to the Father, but we don't know where to get it from. It only comes from him too. So we need to ask the Lord for that special love that only can come from him so that we can give it back. And only when he breaks down those strongholds, when our fathers on earth hurt us so bad, we build up a wall, we said, you ain't going to hurt me anymore, and I don't need you. And we take on this spirit of independence. Now we don't need our fathers anymore. Well, we do. We need our spiritual father, and we need our spiritual father that the Lord gave us here. So I just encourage you that as you seek the Lord, as we go to worship, to allow him to take those walls down. Allow him to heal your heart. Allow him to give you the love that you need in order to return it unto him. Allow him to give the love that you need to be good fathers in the natural and to heal the relationships with your children. Amen. And I thank God for our spiritual father that God gave us. And I ask you to just give this man of God a hand for all he does for us.
Hallelujah. To God be all the glory. Lord, we just take this opportunity and we repent. Lord, we repent for holding anything. And for some of us, for having our fathers as idols. And for some of us who have not had a father, but being angry, unforgiving. Lord, we ask even this moment right now, while the hurts and the wounds, for some of us, we don't understand why our father stood by, why we were being abused. Lord, we ask for healing today. Healing to our hearts. Forgiving. As we bless our fathers and we forgive our fathers, even if some of them are passed away and we're still holding things towards our Father, Lord, we forgive them even today, Lord. And we accept you as our Father in the fullness of love, in the fullness of forgiveness, in the fullness of healing. Lord, forgive us and wash us today that we may know your love and receive it as a Father of love. In Jesus' name.